All right, well, here we are for an installment of, I have no name for this, so an installment of me interviewing friends of mine who are in different areas of the world, brothers in Christ who are seeking to minister to the Church of Christ. So the reason why I do this, just by way of reminder, is in order to help my own church family and whoever else is watching, but to help my own church family to think about the broader church. I think of the Apostle Paul in Philippians 1, who says, I was delivered by the Spirit and your prayers. And then as well, Paul's writing to the Galatians, where he says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And we have this unique opportunity to bear one another's burdens and to hear how we can be praying for our brothers and sisters around the globe. So today, I have an interview here with Matthew Hoskinson. And I have known Matthew for about 20 years or so. Really, primarily as a result of my wife Tracy's relationship with his wife, Kimberly. They have been friends since elementary school. And as a result of their friendship, Matthew and I have been able to treasure a friendship between the two of us, and I'm so grateful for him. But Matthew, if you could just give a little bit of an introduction of yourself so that people can get an idea of who you are.
Sure. My wife and I live in New York City. We live in Brooklyn. We have 5 kids, and most of our life right now is wrapped up with trying to figure out how to do distance learning with 5 kids. Who are essentially on 5 different platforms. So that's fun. But if you're a parent, you've been dealing with this, so it's all good. We have been in New York for 10 years. I pastored a church on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. Actually, we lived in Manhattan up until October of last year when we moved out here to Brooklyn. I am currently working for an organization, Redeemer City to City, which focuses on helping leaders start and strengthen churches. So my current role is more in the ministry training side. I'm not currently serving as a pastor in any one church, but I have the privilege of serving pastors across the city and across, really kind of across the U.S. In a variety of capacities.
So how, from your perspective, how is your area, how's your city? Obviously, in the news, the biggest reports come from New York City, and even where you live in particular. How's your area, and how is the ministry of city to city from your perspective?
Yeah, so, it's been rough. The word I keep seeing is epicenter. And it is true. I think the New York City metro area, which is there are 8.5 million people in New York City, but the metro area is 20 million people. And I'm pretty sure that this metro area has more cases and deaths than any other locality like this, certainly more than many other countries. So it's been pretty devastating. There's an article in today's Washington Post. Today is Cinco de Mayo, May 5th. But there's an article in today's Washington Post that details my colleague and friend, Michael Carrion, who pastors in the Bronx and has lost 13 people in his church to COVID-19. And that just gets multiplied by pastor friends I know. One church planter who's going through my training program is in Queens, which was very much in the news a month ago, but it's been described as the epicenter of the epicenter, where he is in Elmhurst, Jackson Heights. It's his neighborhood. It's where he plants. It's a high immigrant community, high percentage of immigrants living very closely together. And the hospital there is just absolutely overwhelmed in the months of March and into April without nearly the supplies they needed. And when I've talked with him about it, he hardly can even speak because of the devastation in his neighborhood, with people in his church, people he knows. Obviously in a time like this, news media of all sorts live on clicks, and it can be easy for newspapers to oversell what's happening. And I don't doubt that in some cases things are made to sound worse than they are. But the reality is most of what I'm reading is an honest reflection of what's going on here. It's been pretty traumatic.
Yeah. From a city to city perspective, ministry perspective, how has that been for you?
Yeah, so we've had to move one of the beauties of how we train pastors is we get them in a room together and get them talking to each other. And so the learning isn't just top down from like guru to students, but brings collective wisdom together because these are, you know, spirit empowered pastors who have strengths where others are weak and weaknesses where others are strong. And so we try to facilitate conversation. So it's been, I mean, there are layers to the challenge, obviously our own like personal grief and mourning, depending on our situations. But then like trying to transfer that kind of environment to Zoom has been really challenging. Not a surprise to any pastor who's tried to figure out how to do fellowship groups. It's really kind of the same challenge. I've seen this, some leaders are just better adept at being able to use Zoom to kind of create that environment, and others are a little more tech averse. So there's been challenges that way. But then on top of all of that, we've been like recreating content as well, because our sense is that life in New York is not going to return to what normal was like 3 months ago. That we're going to be in this kind of an environment for months, if not maybe even a couple of years. And then what church life will look like after is going to be radically different as well. Not necessarily for the worse, in many ways for the better, but we're working hard to try to strategize with pastors, like what will the next iteration of gospel growth look like for churches here in the city?
Wow. And that'll have influence on the churches throughout America and even, you know, the world, I would imagine too. So how are you doing personally?
Yeah, I think I'm doing all right. I think the first 4 weeks of kind of being in quarantine, my personality is such that I'm just kind of like, okay, what do we have to do today? Let's go do it. Mm-hmm. And I was feeling pretty energized, pretty positive. But you know, obviously the novelty of this is way worn off. And I found myself the last couple of weeks just being fatigued, really. Even today, like, as you can tell, I'm at a standing desk, which I work from at most days. And even just standing and doing work, I'm like, I think I'm going to have to sit down for a little while. So I think just the sum total of kind of our collective mourning in the city added to like individual situations that we know of, friends who are sick. We've had a number of friends who have been sick and thankfully recovered. And then Kimberly is in the midst of a like sewing masks and sending them to friends and all of that. So there's this constant and dramatic weight that we're all feeling. So I had a really good conversation last week with my own spiritual director, who identified some things in my own heart that I needed to deal with and advised some scriptures to be meditating on. And also like started meditating on it for me so that I would go in the right direction, which is really important and really good. So I think doing all right, eager for this season to end. And even this morning, just reminded of, you know, the difference between Job chapter 2 and Job chapter 3, right? Job 2 ends and, you know, he's still hopeful. His friends are sitting there. And then you like turn the page, Job 3, and is like, why was I ever born? And the only difference was time passed and his circumstances didn't change. And I think that's sort of what I'm feeling right now, is longing for the circumstance to change and praying for faith to endure however long this goes.
Yeah. So if you wouldn't mind, could you share maybe a couple of prayer requests that viewers, they can be praying for you about, and I can be praying for you about as well?
Yeah, thanks. I think in terms of our family, I think in many ways we're doing really well. So we're grateful for that. We did not want to move to Brooklyn in October. Mm-hmm. We had lived in the same building for 7 years and it was really home. But it was just such a gift. This apartment for this season is such a gift in so many ways. So you can thank the Lord for moving us, even though we really didn't want to move. Mm-hmm. But it was necessary at the time. And even we see the blessing even more now. Our oldest is a junior in high school, and she has a couple of summer programs that are being affected by this. So certainly would appreciate prayers for her heart in dealing with this. And then, of course, going through the college process, she took an SAT, but her second SAT was canceled like everybody else's. AP exams are all messed up, you know, just all the educational stuff that you need for college prep and for application. So certainly appreciate prayers for her. Our third daughter is an eighth grader, and she's been in the same school for 8 years. The school does not have a high school, and none of her friends are going to the same high school as she is. And it looks like there's not going to be a graduation, not going to be an end of the year banquet, all those kinds of things. So pray that there is something, some way to celebrate what she's done and even to be with her friends. On the ministry side, I coach four pastors here in the city, and a lot of my recent coaching calls have focused really on just making sure they're okay, spiritually, emotionally, physically, and then helping them with whatever ministry initiatives they have. But certainly I would appreciate prayers for courage and wisdom in those conversations. The program that I oversee, we're wrapping up this month and in the process of recruiting students for the fall. So I certainly would appreciate prayers that the right students, by students, of course, I mean pastors, to join our program in the fall. I've had some really great conversations, and I'm hopeful for the next cadre of students. But of course, we're all just sort of like, we don't know what the fall is going to look like. So mm-hmm. Yeah. And last, like for me, pray that the counsel my spiritual director is giving me will take root in my heart, and that I would abide in Christ and abide in his love, and that Jesus would be enough for me.
Mm. All right. Thank you for sharing those things, Matthew. And let's, to conclude this time together, I'll pray for those requests.
Thanks.
Father, I thank you that we can call you Father. I thank you that you are the creator over all, that you dwell in the heavens and you do whatever you please. And amazingly, because of Christ Jesus, you are pleased to hear our prayers and to answer them in such ways that would bring glory to your name and cause us to grow in our satisfaction in you. I pray, Lord, that we would believe your promises. And in the midst of this time, even as Matthew said, the passing of time can play on our emotions, our mind, our will. And I pray for your grace for Matthew to be known, to be experienced, to be even felt. And not only for him, but for his children, as they're facing these very difficult times. And even the general discouragements of friendships and what can be very significant with college planning. I pray for his children to grow in hope and trust in you, that Matthew and Kimberly would be strengthened so that they can continue to point their children to you in the midst of this, and that they would all be able to lament before you in the midst of the pain, knowing that you give comfort. Lord, adding to this, pray for Matthew to take that counsel that he's been given, that he would grow in seeking your truth and focusing on these truths that has been given to him, so that as he focuses on it, the truth, as the psalmist says, that you would unite his heart to the truths, so that you might fear your name more. And in the plans in ministry, what he's doing in coaching pastors, that he would be an encouragement to them as you've been an encouragement to him. And that in the plans of moving forward, I ask, Lord, that that he and team members would not grow weary in doing well, even if things change, but instead that there would be constant reminders that you are the sovereign one. And in your sovereignty, you will not let your church die. You will not let your children be destroyed, but instead you are building them up. So grant them hope, grant him hope and grace and encouragement. Thank you for Matthew, and cause us who have heard him even now to pray more for him and even for New York City. Lord, we pray that people would be healed, that people would grow in godliness, be drawn to you, you would even bring relief from this virus. And in seeing the devastation this virus can bring, Lord, I pray that people would not spurn you or hate you, but that they would turn to you. And we pray these things because Jesus died and rose again, and he has ascended and made our prayers accessible to you. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for your time, Matthew, and I'm sure we'll talk later.
Sounds good.
All right. Bye.